outside is cold, she said to me with a smile.
And welcome to episode 31 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Josh.
Oh, it's Ghost Josh.
It's Ghost Josh.
Josh couldn't make it this week. He caught a last-minute symptoms of ICS, that's Internet Celebrity Syndrome.
Oh.
And was caught up with one of his many other projects. But
just too busy being a big deal.
The good news is I was actually able to find a last-minute replacement for Josh. I have brought the JoshBot 9000.
Oh.
Hello, I am JoshBot 9000.
Hi, JoshBot 9000. What brings you here today?
Anger.
I think it's a pretty good replacement. It sounds. Yeah.
It is.
Feelings are not real.
That's right, JoshBot.
Good one, JoshBot.
Thank you.
So we'll shut. We're going to power JoshBot down for a little while. We'll bring him in a little bit later.
Nice. Nice.
Zane, what are you reading this week?
I just finished The Missing by Sarah Langan.
Oh, is that the one you were bitching about on Twitter? Had some Gilmore Girls discrepancies?
Yes. I mean, look, the book was not great.
Okay. Full disclosure, Zane and myself are fans of the television program The Gilmore Girls.
Yes, very, very much so.
Zane more than I. I mean, I'm not embarrassed to say that I like the show, but Zane is certainly much more of a
yes,
Gilmore girly than I.
It shouldn't surprise anyone that I love the Gilmore Girls, nah. If you know anything about the things that I like.
Honestly, if you ever watched that show, you should be a fan of it. That show is awesome.
But yeah, it's a horror book, and it's about, it's not really a zombie book, although it kind of sounds like it when you describe it.
Okay.
It's about like an infectious disease that like grips a small town and makes the people who are infected like eat other people.
So
yes,
zombies?
But they're not zombies in like a traditional zombie sense. There's no dying and reanimating.
Yeah. Again, full disclosure, Zane is kind of a zombie purist.
I am?
You are. You're like,
I did not know that about myself.
You're like the resident like zombie dramaturg. You're like you have like an encyclopedic knowledge and
don't put that on me. I don't
strident like
I didn't know that
yeah,
about
you
myself.
Do. You do.
All right. Well,
you're welcome.
Anyway, it struck me more as a book about, like, infection than anything else. Although it is, like, a little supernaturally and stuff like that. Anyway, I didn't love it. It was not very good. But it was super ruined by some completely inaccurate Gilmore Girls references that I just felt like it was really lazy on the part of the writer.
Now, not that this matters one way or the other, but I'm curious. Was the author male or female?
Female.
Okay. Again, it doesn't matter one way or another.
No, but it just seemed like she referenced Gilmore Girls a couple of different times in the book in different places as being one of the characters' like favorite quote unquote soaps to watch.
I would let that go.
I could let that one go.
Okay.
Sure. Except that like what is the point of referencing a very specific show and even getting the names of the characters right if you're not going to describe something that ever happened in the show ever?
Right, you said that
Rory was pregnant. She, like, they turn on an episode and she's like, this is my favorite episode, Rory's pregnant. It's like, what the fuck episode is that?
Yeah.
None of them. It just seemed lazy to me. Like, she had read, like, she had almost read the IMDb description of Gilmore Girls while she was doing something else and then wrote about it in her book. Like, you probably got an advance for this book. You couldn't sit down to do 3 hours of research and watch an episode of Gilmore Girls.
Wasn't Lorelai nicknamed Rory too at some point?
No.
She was, no, that didn't happen.
Nope.
I know.
That
yeah.
Was never
okay.
A thing.
All right.
They're both named Lorelai, Sean, but they call
I know
Rory,
that.
Rory to distinguish.
Okay. Got it. But other than that, how was the book?
It was not great.
Okay.
It kind of reminded me, we've been talking when we talked about like dark and depressing books. We talked about how books need a glimmer of hope.
Right.
There was none. To the point where I'm not even sure what the point of the book was.
Wow.
Like, it was almost slice of life, but it's not. Like, there was just, there's no real, like, we watched the infection grip the town.
Right.
Like, and I guess that's the beginning. But, like, there's just nothing gets resolved.
No payoff.
There's no payoff. There's not even, it's not clear for like 90% of the book who the main characters even are, like who you're supposed to care about. Am I rooting for anyone? Everyone in the book is pretty much a terrible person. And, like, just no one has any redeeming qualities at all. There's never a point where you're like, this is gonna, someone's gonna figure this out. And then it was also kind of like, all of the narration is, like, characters' inner monologues.
Okay.
So, like, so, I don't know. Like, it just seemed like it would contradict itself a lot. Like, a character would be like, she'll say to her husband, like, I love you so much and I'll never stop loving you. And then, like, two pages later, she's like, he's the coldest person alive and I hate him.
Okay.
And it's like, well, which is it?
No,
like,
I know things no are, depth to character, no continuity. Like, yeah.
She would state something about a character and then two pages later it'd be false.
All right.
It just seemed like, I don't know.
How did you get this? Did I give this to you?
No.
Phew.
although you've given me bad books
before. I know.
No, it was recommended for me. This was my, like, reading on the my new Kindle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And basically it was, like, recommended to me by Amazon. So I was like, let's just do this. Like, let me just get the Amazon experience, which was, you know.
Yes, you should not listen to the Amazon.
D- is the grade I'd give the whole experience.
Fair enough. And reading on the Kindle didn't do anything for you either?
I didn't love it. I kind of felt like an idiot lugging it around with me for a week. Mm-hmm. Like, that just felt stupid. And it was really disheartening. Like, I'd sit in my chair in the living room and I'd have, like, my phone and my laptop. And now I have, like, a new
Another device. Yeah.
And I'd just be sitting, like, and then I have, like, my PlayStation remote. And I was like, it's too much stuff. Like, I didn't like it. And it was really bright. Like, I turned the brightness all the way down. And the reason I was excited about the Kindle was to read it in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bright. Like, I couldn't read it in bed in the dark.
Boo.
Yeah. All right. So I'm probably not going to read
it. So D minus.
D minus. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you pick anything else up after you finished The Missing?
No, I got those two weird YA books from you last week.
Okay.
But I haven't started them yet.
Okay.
What are you reading, Sean?
Well, I finished The Executioner's Heart.
Yeah.
The British thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Which, I'm sorry, are you rereading this series?
I was rereading. I reread the So this book I hadn't read before. This is the most recent one I've never read.
Oh, okay.
So I reread the one before it
to
get myself, like, because it was like 3 years ago that I read it, and I couldn't remember exactly where things left off. So this was the first time I was reading it. It was great. It was, you know, like I said last week, I went on last week. It was very delightful.
Yeah.
Definitely sets itself up for the next one, which I was just reading today, I think isn't out until December of 2016, which I'm kind of not great, like, terribly happy about.
Seems like a long time ago.
Because I'm going to have to reread this one all over again.
Yeah.
But it was good. And then I started, so we got a copy of, I've talked about him on the show before, Chuck Wendig.
Yeah.
I read Zeros of his. So we got a copy in of, they're reprinting his book Blackbird because it's being made into a television show. I want to say Cinemax, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
And I brought it home, and actually I had no plans to read it because I, like, you know, my experience with Zeros was okay story, not great writing.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife was like, oh, you'll have to read that and tell me how it is. I'm kind of interested in the show, but I want to know if it's too scary.
Right.
And I was like, because my wife doesn't do horror. Yeah. Like, she doesn't do horror movies, or, you know, she's your sister, but listeners, so you know. Not a fan of, like, supernatural or, like, gore or anything. So I basically had to be, like, the test audience. And, like, 40 pages in, like, I was kind of like, yeah, you can't read this. Like, it's not, like, it's not overly gross, but, like, there are scenes that are really kind of gory.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Paige, like, she's not going to be able to handle it. But what happened is, it's just like the last one. It's not a great, it's a good story. It's a fun, like, the chapters are only, like, 3 or 4 pages long, and it moves along at a really good clip. So I'm going to finish it. But, like, it's, you know, everybody always has the most quippy thing to say, and, like, all the responses are, like, super, like, cliched, and, like, everybody's always pissed off. Like, all of the characters are pissed off at each other and the world, and it's this, like, I don't know, it feels like if the person who went to a Marilyn Manson concert who sat next to me in 1993, got a book deal, and wrote the deal when he got home from the show.
Well, maybe that's what happened.
It's entirely possible. I don't remember who sat next to me at the Antichrist Superstar tour. But it could have been Chuck Wendig. And I don't, like I said, I don't want to diss it because it's good. Like, I'm I'm reading it and I'm enjoying it, but it's not great. It's not. It's just not great. So I'm looking forward to being done it.
Yeah.
Because I have a book on the horizon called Press Start to Play, which is a collection of short stories written by various contemporary authors, Andy Weir. who wrote The Martian.
Yeah.
And I can't think of his name. The guy we talked about who wrote the book about Richard Nixon. Austin Grossman.
Okay.
And a couple other authors. And it's all short stories about video games.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is... Ernest Cline only wrote the foreword.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I don't have to read an Ernest Cline story to get through this. And I've already read it, and I hate the foreword. So that's next on the radar. And I feel like I could finish Blackbird tonight.
Right.
I am also programmed to hate Ernest Cline. Fuck that guy.
Oh, Josh Bott.
You are so well, like, formed like Josh.
Thank you, Sean. You are smart and handsome.
Aw. Thanks, buddy.
Josh Bott. Brown noser.
Seriously. All right, so I think we can go ahead and take our break, and when we get back, we'll get into it.
You don't want to find out what Josh Bott is reading? Oh, it's nothing.
I am reading user manuals. I have just finished them, for my brain reads faster than yours. I also just got 15,000 Twitter followers.
You're just Josh like Bott. Josh Bott.
New Twitter account, Josh Bott.
No, because I'll be really depressed when he actually does get more followers than me.
50,000 followers overnight.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into it, because that's what we do here on Cracking the Spine.
Next day, I thought. If your brain is receiving this message from either the iTunes or Android marketplace, please do write a review and rate the show. You can find us on the Facebook. Search Facebook for Cracking the Spine. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Cracking Spine on Twitter. You are also welcome to send emails to the show, crackingthespineshow@gmail.com. Please include Robo Josh in the subject line and transmission.
Thanks, Josh Bott.
Thank you, Zane.
I wanted to follow her home, but before I could, it was too late. I noticed her tracks in the snow.
Hey, welcome back to Cracking the Spine, episode 31, a prime number.
Okay.
I didn't make a number reference in the first act, and I usually do that, so it's a prime number.
Boo!
Booing me?
Yeah.
No, I'm supposed to yell at you.
Oh, well, that was last week.
I got it all out of my system last week.
This is me yelling at you, Zane. Why did you do that?
Shut up, Josh.
Josh Bott.
It's so lifelike.
It's like having a Josh here with you.
All right, so this week we are talking controversial and banned books, which was a reader's or a listener's suggestion, a reader's suggestion.
He probably reads.
I guess he reads like the descriptions on the podcasts. From @SpaceButts, Luke Gelheiser, he has the best Twitter handle.
SpaceButts with a Z?
Yeah, with a Z.
That's pretty awesome.
But he emailed us, but he referenced his Twitter handle, so okay. I'm going to give him a shout out. So thanks, Luke.
Yeah, so like the idea, I mean, like, let's just jump off with like the idea of banned books.
Yeah.
Because what happens is like a group of parents, mm-hmm. It's always parents.
I actually, I went on the ALA website.
That's the American Librarians Association?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. Because they have, like, they do Banned Books Week and everything. Right. Like, they're obviously very against banning books. And they have a really informative section of their website all about banned books and, like, people who challenge books and things like that. And they have a bunch of interesting statistics there. And
let's do stats.
They said
we never have actual, like, hard evidence on this show. We just talk ideas. I love it.
So they said that there are obviously lots of people who challenge material, which, according to the ALA, like, they consider when people, like, write in or, you know, contact libraries and they're like, you should get rid of this book, that's a challenge. They're challenging the material. So that's their verbiage, not mine. So they said the number one group of people that challenge material are parents.
Right.
Christian,
usually, I would be guessing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk on there about, like, PTAs and stuff like that. And then the other interesting, like, facts that I got from the ALA was that the top three reasons cited for challenging a text were, one, the material is considered to be sexually explicit, two, the material contained, quote, offensive language, And three, the material was, this was my favorite one, quote, unsuited to any age group. Now, that's a direct quote, and I was...
You can't hear my eyes rolling, but they are rolling.
I was writing it down in my notebook, and I was like, unsuited to any age group. Does that mean, like, literally inappropriate for anyone? Or is that, like, just sort of, like, general, like, it's not suitable for this one age group, so we're challenging it?
Like, first of all, like, the balls on people, yeah. Because, you, like, the only way you would know if a book should be banned is if you've read it.
Right.
Right? Or... you've decided that without reading the book that it needs to be banned.
Yeah.
Right? So in that first group, people who have read the book and decided they need to be banned, they've decided for you that they know what is important for you and what you can handle.
Yep. And even worse, it's usually people trying to protect the, quote, children.
Right.
Think of the children.
Right.
Just the general children. Children aren't suited for this.
And, like, I think there's a difference. I think that, you know, I think it, a conversation where, like, if a book is on a summer reading list and a parent feels it's not appropriate, like, there's a difference between having a conversation with a teacher or a principal or an administrator and saying, I don't feel this book is appropriate for my child. You know, I would like my child to read something else.
Right.
And calling the superintendent of schools and saying, this book should not be read by children.
Or worse than campaigning against the book, like, in your local library or, like, calling the publisher and telling them to, like, cut it out. Like, to take it that far is crazy.
The idea that you would have the temerity to go to a library, which is literally, like, a library has no political platform. A library is a place for information. And go to the library and say, take this book out for everyone is asinine.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to read it and you don't want your kids to read it, don't fucking read it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm gonna curse a lot this week because this is a subject that gets me really heated. And it doesn't end with books. Like, I got into a thing with a friend of a friend on Facebook earlier in the week. Josh and I both did. Because our friend posted this thing that was like a list of topics that you can't talk about in comedy. And then it was just blank.
Okay.
And some dude was like, I don't know, like, it's probably not okay to make dead baby jokes if someone's baby just died, or, like, you know, joking about burn victims if there's a burn victim nearby. And I'm like, nope. So Josh and I were both, like, you know, tearing into the guy.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you? Like, everything's, you know, it's all okay or nothing's okay. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's like, I was like, listen, if I'm telling a joke, I'm making comedy. If I'm making comedy, I'm a comedian.
Right.
And he was like, no, comedians have millions of fans. And I was like, oh, okay. All right.
What?
Here we go. Because it's that thing of, that's that mindset of, if someone else isn't signing your paycheck, you're not working.
Right.
Which I'm very much against. Now, I didn't want to get into it with this guy where it's like, you know, I've been doing professional comedy for 11 years, dude. But, like, excuse me. It's that idea that, like, I hate this term, but social justice warriors get to police what the rest of us can see or hear or read or determine what is okay speech and what is not okay speech.
Well, and where everything gets taken too far is, like, it's one thing to be like, that's a shitty thing to say.
Right.
You seem like a dick right now, and leave it at that. And it's another thing to say, like, that's a shitty thing to say. I would like to prevent anyone in the future from ever being able to say that ever, ever again.
Exactly.
Like, there's a huge difference. And where I get frustrated with, like you said, social justice warriors, which, by the way, is, like, a horrible term that was coined to basically, like, quiet voices.
To minimize people, yeah.
But where I get frustrated is it's admirable to say to people, like, hey, that's asshole language.
Don't be a
dick.
You're
talking like an asshole.
If you, like, keep doing that, people will think you're a dick.
Like,
that's fine.
Great to call people out and be like, try not to be assholes.
Right.
Try not to be insensitive. Maybe think about what you're saying. Like, that is great. That's a great message. But then it gets taken way, 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 way too far. And this might be kind of an interesting conversation because you and I are on the same side of this.
And, you know, if Josh was here, don't even give me shit. Because I'm
it. That is exactly how I would be if I was here.
Josh Bott, I wish you had more emotion.
I do too.
Then you wouldn't be Josh. But <Ba-dum-choo>.
Nice.
Where are my klaxons? Come on.
Honk, 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 honk.
I was looking at lists of banned books, which is when I texted you today, and I was like, this is just getting me really angry. Because, like, you know, like, when I think of famously controversial, famously banned books,
right.
I think of, like, Lolita, I think of Catcher in the Rye, yep. You know, it's like stuff
Huckleberry
like that.
Finn.
Huck Finn.
And again, was, like the first one, sexuality, right?
Right. Well, and part of it was like, again, I don't agree with banning books ever. But like, I understand why in what was it, 1951, 1955,
right.
that Lolita came out. I understand why it made people uneasy and why they took offense to it. Like, not that I agree with that, but especially in that time,
right.
I understand why it wasn't maybe well received.
And I think in 2015, a case can be made that that is not an appropriate book for, like, required high school reading. Well, I mean, I just said, all I said was
that's
a case.
That's when I read it, was required high school reading.
It was required, really?
Yes.
What grade?
Then I read Lolita. 10th or 11th?
Okay.
I think. But I went, again, I went to a private school.
Yeah.
You know, small classes and everything. But, like, I understand where the controversy comes from.
Right.
And even, like, Catcher in the Rye, like, I understand why when that book came out, parents were like, I don't want my kids reading. You know, like, it makes sense.
Right.
Like, I get it. But to find out that something like Catcher in the Rye is still, like, this year being hotly debated in PTA meetings across the country shocked me and, like, enraged me that we are still arguing that, like, no one has figured out by now that, like, it's fine. Like, let your kids read Catcher in the Rye. It's fine.
Like, literally nothing will happen.
Nothing will happen. Like, it just, it made me crazy. And then, again, like, I understand when something like that book, Holy Blood, Holy Grail.
Right, that's the one that Da Vinci Code was based on?
Yeah, which is like, it, you know, purports that Jesus had children
right.
with Mary Magdalene. And, you know, so like, I get the controversy. I get why people were upset.
Right.
But to take it as far as banning it,
right.
crazy pants. But then I started getting into books that I was genuinely, and I shouldn't have been, but I was genuinely shocked to find.
Harry Potter?
Oh, I knew about Harry Potter.
Because Harry Potter is an evil magician, and he'll steer your children away from of the, you know, Jesus.
It makes them love the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
I said to my husband today, I was like, yeah, people tried to ban Harry Potter, and he was like, for what? And I went, witchcraft. And he was like, wizardcraft. So shout out to Dan on that one. But then the one that kept popping up that I just couldn't believe was Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite books, which is like basically just about like being a teenager. It's basically a modern day Catcher in the Rye. I couldn't believe, like, it's such an innocent book in so many ways. I couldn't believe that that showed up. And then another book that kept showing up, which I know why it gets banned and why it's controversial, but it's so stupid, is Speak. Have you ever heard
Laurie Halse Anderson?
Yeah, it's the one about a girl who gets raped, a young, like a middle schooler.
Okay.
And she goes to a party and she's raped at the party. And she calls the cops.
Okay.
And it breaks up the party and everyone gets in trouble. And she ends up never actually telling anyone that she got raped.
Okay.
And so it's like about her following year and she's an outcast in school because she broke up this party. And it's about like her coming to terms with being raped. And like, it's a really great text. I know it sounds heavy and it is really, really,
you know,
heavy,
what though? The thing is, like, you kids need to deal with those issues.
It's, you know, it's written from
Sadly.
The perspective of a young girl.
Right.
And her finding the courage to speak up and stand up for herself and tell people what happened. And, her, like, dealing with this and coping with this the year after. And I read it when I was in high school, and it had a huge impact on me. And for that book to be banned for sexuality, it's like, who the fuck just didn't read that book and was like, it's about rape, ban it.
Yep.
Like,
well, that's the thing.
It's important, like, to read. Like, it's not even, like, overtly sexual. Like, it's not even pornographic. Like, what are we doing?
It's the same idea as behind chastity-only sexual education.
Yeah.
Like, and then what happens is, in the school districts or states that do chastity-only sexual education, guess what's happening? increase in STDs, increase in unwanted pregnancies, increase in abortions.
Well, like, you know, you think about these books that you read, like, I read Catcher in the Rye. Everyone, you know, when they're in, like, ninth grade, reads Catcher
it's
in the
boring.
Rye.
It's boring. Yeah. You're gonna ban it for anything because like, it's boring.
When you're like, 14, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he cut school.
Yeah, like, it means a lot to you. But I think about books that meant a lot to me reading them, like Percy Being a Wallflower, like Speak, and, you know, and they had such a big impact on me, and they were so important. It was so important to read books about kids going through kids' stuff, and, you know, and, like, it's just, it was so important, and to think about taking that away from kids, just, it makes me so sad.
And, like, and the worst part about it is that, like, the ostensible reason for doing it, the people who are trying to ban books legitimately think they're doing something good.
Yes, they do.
Which makes it so much worse.
Yeah. And it's like a, I kept thinking, like, well, what's a book that I would try to ban? You know, and I was like, well, like, who's still letting Ann Coulter publish books?
Right.
You know, like, what are we doing? But that's her right.
Absolutely. And it's the right of people who want to buy it.
Right.
Like, we have a, actually, just as an aside, we just got a new, it's called The Essential Bernie Sanders, and it's, like, all, it's all, like, it's not by him, it's just about him and, like, his rise, like, where he came from, his beliefs, his policies.
Right.
And it comes, it's on this, like, countertop display, so it's right by the front register. And this woman came up to the counter tonight, and she was like, ugh, he has a book? And I was like, yeah, you know. And she was with her daughter, and her daughter was like, wow, because there's only two left. She was like, wow, it's selling really well, too. And the mom was like, I can't believe that. So I was like, I'm ready to go. So I was like, we're actually trying to get him in here for a signing.
Yeah.
Which is true. And she goes, why? And I was like, well, because it would sell a lot of books.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to have Newt Gingrich and his wife in for the third year in a row this year. We don't, like it's that idea, like I was saying about the library. Like, we as a store don't exist to espouse a particular political platform.
Right.
If I could get Hillary Clinton in the day after I got Newt Gingrich in, I would do it.
Yeah.
Because they would sell books.
Right.
And that's my job. My job is to sell books. My job is not to peddle my political belief.
Right.
Because, right? I mean, I don't really actually read a lot of political books. I guess I lean kind of left, maybe moderate. But, like, that's not what I do when I come to the store.
Right.
And it's not the job of the store. So, like, and, you know, basically she was like, get it out of here.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah.
I was going to ask you, like, do you get, working in the bookstore, do you get people coming up to you, like, asking you to take things off the shelves or anything like that?
Yes. And I had forgotten about that specific thing until you said it. We had a book by, what's that guy's name? He's a conspiracy theorist. David Icke.
Okay.
He's a British conspiracy theorist. And he's very, like, it's one of those things where, like, when you start to read his stuff on the surface, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's big on, like, you know, 9/11 was an inside job.
Okay.
Because of the scientific evidence.
Right.
And, like, the World Bank is a scam.
Yeah.
And the power, like.
And all of the world leaders are lizard people.
Well, that's what happens. that's exactly where he goes with it. Like, you'll be reading along in his book and you're like, okay, some of this makes a lot of sense. And then he starts talking about the Anunnaki.
Yeah.
And the Rothschilds and the Zionist cults of at the Bilderberg conventions that are literally having blood orgies with the blood of children. And then, like, deciding world policy, like in the same night.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a very weird, like 10% okay, and then all of a sudden it's just total crazy town.
Yeah.
Now, if someday I find out the world is ruled by a lizard people, I will take all this back.
Hashtag lizard truth.
But we had a customer who found our, like, it was in our New Age section of our David Icke books, and he was irate, incensed. And he went to our buyer, and he said to our buyer, you know, he, like, slammed him down in front of him and was like, how dare you? Do you not realize this man is an anti-Semite? Because, again, he believes that, like, the lizard people are manipulating the world through Israel and through Zionists and all that kind of thing. He's an anti-Semite. He's a Holocaust denier, blah, 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 blah. His book should not be in your store. And this was right after I started working here, right after our new owner bought the store. And he won.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled those books off the shelf. I was angry.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel, I wasn't here long enough to feel comfortable to say, like, you know, how dare you, like, bend to that? Because, like, where does it stop?
Yeah.
If one guy hates that book, like, what happens when someone comes along and is like, you know, the monster at the end of this book, it's Grover the whole time. Kids are being lied to.
Yeah.
Like, I have to pull that book. Like, yeah. And then eventually I don't have anything left on the shelf to sell. So, yeah. And then, like, but every once in a while, you know, because we do assign, we have the summer reading book for the local school district, like, set aside. And one of the books that the AP kids have to read this year is In Cold Blood.
Okay, yeah.
AP, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, pretty advanced.
Yeah.
Pretty, you know, graphic and gory. Mm-hmm. Also, on a list of books that you can pick and choose from.
Okay.
So it's not, like, mandatory. You have to read two books from a list of six.
Okay.
Cinderella Ate My Daughter. You don't have to write it. I mean, What It Is, which is a graphic memoir by Linda Barry. There's a couple other ones on the list. The Geek Shall Inherit the Earth. So a woman came up with her daughter, and they were getting Something Else and In Cold Blood. And the mother was like, what is this? What's it about? And I was like, at first I was like, how can you, as a grown-up, not know? Like, even before I read it, I knew what it was
about. You knew what it was, yeah.
So I was like, well, you know, you can read. It's on the back of the book because I don't want to like put my own spin on it.
Right.
I'm like, it's on the back of the book. It's the story of a mass murder in the Midwest in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And the author was a journalist. Like, it's, you know, and she's reading the back and she like puts the book down and looks me dead in the eyes and she goes, I don't want my daughter reading this. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a weird position of like, I don't want to have to explain. I feel like I shouldn't have to explain to the parent. Like, she doesn't have to.
Right.
Like, the daughter had selected it herself. She's going into her senior year. Yes. She's going into AP.
You are just the middleman in this transaction.
So it was like, you know, she was like, well, I don't want my daughter to read this. This is graphic. And I was like, okay. But she ended up buying it.
Right.
She bought the book. And then the other one that springs to mind is, so at the very beginning of the summer, a girl came in and she was in a Catholic schoolgirl uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And she was buying her summer reading book, and she told me she was going into her junior year. And one of the books that was, it was not a summer reading book, it was Lolita. Because a Catholic school is not going to assign Lolita.
Yeah.
So the mother's like, I'm ringing up the books, and like, I get to the total, and the mother picks up Lolita and goes, what's this about? And I was like,
stuff.
And again, like, the girl's there in like, her short Catholic girl, and like, the girl blanches and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother turns to me and she was like, what's this about? And I was like, it's about an older man who has a love affair with an underage girl. And the mother's like, get over here. Not to me, to the daughter. She's like, get over here. You are not getting this book. And basically like pulled her by the ear out of the store. And I was like, that could have been awkward.
Yeah.
Now that I think is different because that is a parent exercising.
Yes.
Like their right to parent.
Absolutely.
Like that's like, Mommy buy me Call of Duty for a 12-year-old, and the mom just buying it anyway.
Right.
Now, I don't think Call of Duty is quite the same as Lolita.
It does kind of stem from a similar place, and I don't know if this is worldwide or just sort of an American thing, but we have this tendency to just ban things. It's bad.
Right.
No one should read it. Instead of saying, like, read this, and then even if you don't like it or you disagree with it, let's talk about
it. Let's have
that.
a conversation about it.
Conversation about that. Make it like an intelligent exercise.
Right.
Because that's how Lolita was presented to me. And because it was presented in that way, I was able to read what is actually a really beautiful book that is also chilling.
Right. I've never actually read it. It doesn't do anything for me.
It's so incredibly written. And English was not his first language.
Right.
And that is unreal, the way that he wrangles it. It's crazy. And it's so scary, that book. And, like, because I was able to read it from an educational place, and it was presented to me, like, let's discuss this. Why is this creepy? Why does this gross you out? Like, let's talk about it. Is it right? Is it wrong? Who do we side with? Like, it was an intellectual exercise, reading that book. And that's what reading
that's
a
what
book
reading
should
is supposed
be.
To be, yeah.
And that kind of stuff, like, I kept thinking about, when I was doing the research for this, I kept thinking about, like, the controversy over books like Twilight.
Right.
Where people are like, it's an abusive relationship, and young girls are reading that, and they're gonna think that that's okay, and, like, first of all, that's a huge insult to young girls everywhere, because they're just so stupid,
right.
They're gonna read it, and, this is how I should be treated, but, like, let them read it, and then say, like, do you think this was an abusive relationship. Is that how you would want to be treated? Like, let's talk about it. But instead of just saying, like, it's a bad influence, no one should read
but
it.
But what
like,
happens is parents...
It's a weird thing.
Parents don't want to do that. Parents go,
right.
I want the school... I want to drop my kid off at school and then let the school worry about educating. And let the school have the conversations.
My point is, like, it's they're interwoven because
definitely.
It's absolutely okay for parents to say, like, I don't want you to read this. But I also think, like... In the same way that we need to talk about why books are controversial, why they bring up these like things. It's also the parents' job to say to kids, like, I don't want you to read this right now.
Right.
Here's why.
Right.
Let's talk about it. Like, that's, and, you know, like, you can't hold every single parent accountable for that, but.
Looking for Alaska by John Green mm-hmm. was banned in some state. It was the whole state. Want to know why?
Why?
Characters smoke. Characters smoke cigarettes.
Not my country, goddamn it!
Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah,
like that is so arbitrary and so capricious because, like, every book for a long time people smoked. Every movie was basically underwritten by Winston cigarettes. Yep. Like I know, I know our like mindsets have changed on it, but like for God's sake,
yeah. Well, it's just crazy. And again, like. Instead of just banning it, let's have an intelligent conversation. Right. Like, hey, did you notice that all these characters smoke?
Yeah.
We don't really do that anymore.
I think this has been a very intelligent conversation.
Thanks, Joshbot.
Yeah, buddy, you're all right.
No thanks to you, Joshbot.
I was just trying to stay out of the way so that the two of you could talk.
Yeah, why isn't real Josh more like that?
Yeah, man, this is great.
We might have to have a meeting about
luxury show.
Seeing who we keep. Maybe we could have the listeners vote. Keep Joshbot or keep real Josh?
I vote Joshbot.
You don't get a vote, Joshbot.
He can cast a vote for himself. That's allowed.
Robots don't have the right to vote.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. Show me the constitutional amendment that gives them the right to vote.
Damn.
That's anti-robot.
Hey, man, I didn't write the Constitution.
Careful, man. You're going to get banned.
All right. So not bad. Yeah, we did. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up episode 31 of Cracking the Spine.
Sitting on the brightest star. Someday I must find you.
Welcome back to episode 31 of Cracking the Spine.
That's Zane.
I'm Zane. Oh, and that's Sean.
There it is. So yeah, definitely hit us up on email with Joshbot versus Josh.
Yes.
We want to hear about that.
We want to hear about it.
And have you ever run, like I've never in my own like educational experience run up against like a banned book, but I was never really in the Bible Belt or like up against a school. Well, I'm wondering if the listeners have ever like been in a school situation
where
they
a book was banned.
Were dealing with like the banning of a book or a parent who was like putting down their foot. Cause I would love to hear that kind of story.
Yeah.
Like a very personal, like this is how it was in my school. So if that happened to you, please do send us an email. Send us an email anyway. We always love to get show ideas or, you know, just cool anecdotes about like things that happen. Or, you know, shipments of books.
And there's a pretty good chance that the email will get read on the podcast.
That's true. Yeah. So, cool. We'll be back next week, and maybe Josh will be here.
I sure hope not. I'd be out of work.
Yeah, I hope you stick around, Joshbot.
Me too. Do you have any other purposes? Like, is there anything else that you can do?
I can assemble Model T Fords.
Ouch. That's pretty specific.
That's very specific.
All right, so stick around for a very controversial dramatic reading.
Yeah.
And definitely come on back next week because we're going to have more awesome conversation right here on Cracking the Spine. Something comfy. Turn down the lights because it's time for a very controversial dramatic reading. Here on Cracking the Spine, we sure hope we don't get banned. We don't want to get the hammer. But here with a really great reading from Cracking the AP Statistics Exam 2015 edition from the Princeton Review, it's Zay.
How to begin. 1. Take a test. Before you can decide how to use this book, you need to take a practice test. Doing so will give you insight into your strengths and weaknesses, and the test will also help you make an efficient study plan. If you're feeling test phobic, remind yourself that a practice test is a tool for diagnosing yourself. It's not how well you do that matters, but how you use the information gleaned from your performance to guide your preparation. So before you read further, take AP Statistics Practice Test 1, so I can't keep a straight face ever, starting at page 331 of this book. Be sure to do so in one sitting, following the instructions that appear before the test. 2. Check your answers. Check your answers in Chapter 9 and count how many multiple choice questions you got right, how many you missed. Don't worry about the explanations for now, and don't worry about why you missed questions. We'll get to that soon. 3. Reflect on the test. After you take your first test, respond to the following questions. How much time did you spend on the multiple choice questions? How much time did you spend on each essay? How many multiple choice questions did you miss? Do you feel you had the knowledge to address the subject matter of the essays? Do you feel you wrote well-organized, thoughtful essays? Circle the content areas that were most challenging for you. Draw a line through each one in which you felt confident / did well. Exploring data, sampling and experimentations, anticipating patterns, statistical inference.
Well, for all you sexy testophobes out there and testafellas, that has been Cracking the AP Statistics Exam 2015 edition. I sure hope your parents were out of the room. Good night.